This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is always the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North, for the week of October the 23rd, 2017, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
We would like you to put your television on mute for episode 237 of TVA, the podcast. 237, that's not some kind of special anniversary that we're missing, is it there, Greg? I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
Is that seems the Plaid like only... anniversary? I don't know.
It seems like only yesterday that we were at 200.
Yes. Is that the tartan anniversary? I'm not sure.
No, probably not.
I remember the first time I saw the anniversaries come up, and like every single anniversary has its own theme. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the first anniversary is the paper anniversary.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, you would have to go pretty far with paper on your first anniversary to climb out of the cellar on that one.
Yeah. Like, what do you give? You give like a Globe and Mail subscription?
You know, considering you can't even give, first of all, how can you properly give money anymore? That's just insulting. But you can't even give our money anymore because it's made of plastic now.
Yeah. And then not only there's the old timey list of anniversary gifts, and then there's the new ones.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Which you'll learn about. You need to know these things. Trust me.
Yes, I do. I do. Perhaps I'm a little bit behind the times. Anyway, it's time for the TVA podcast, folks. We talk about Canadian television here once every couple of weeks. Interspersed between those weeks are weeks where Greg talks to a notable television personality involved in Canadian television. I'm saying the word television way too much, but television. Greg, why don't you tell people who you spoke to on the TV ABCs last week, and maybe a quick tease of what's coming up in the future?
Sure, absolutely. Last week, it was Julie Puckrin, who is a writer on Killjoys. Killjoys has just been renewed for two more seasons, so she'll be on that writing staff. But of interest to me when I was speaking to her was the fact that she started out working on Mad Men. So she gave a little bit of background into how she got involved in that show, and then the... how being on that program really affected her when it came to writing and then entered the Canadian television industry. And I've had a lot of comments about that one. They really enjoyed it. And hopefully they'll enjoy the next TV ABC's podcast that I do with actress Camille Sullivan. She was in Toronto doing press for The Disappearance, which is the CTV miniseries. And so I managed to grab about 22, 23 minutes with her. We talked about her career because she's been on shows like Intelligence and Shattered out in Vancouver. And now she's largely working on projects in Toronto. And so, yeah, we talked about that, talked about her art and some of the other things that she's been doing in the Canadian television industry.
That's cool. And that's the one thing I like about the TV ABC's podcast is they could be 23 minutes, they could be 53 minutes. You never know. It just depends on how the conversation ebbs and flows.
Yeah. And the only reason though, the only reason that this one was a little on the shorter side, I feel like we could have talked for an hour. It was just because it was a press day and I was one of, several people speaking to her that day.
You were one of the junket.
One of the junkies.
Oh, there you go.
Junketers.
Wow. Before we get into the news this week and into our calendar, it is time for our beverage update. And Greg, we're not recording. Sometimes we record late morning. Sometimes we record in the evening. We're kind of recording dead in the middle of the afternoon at this point. So I'm wondering what you might have on the go.
Well, I don't have anything on the go. And I'm not drinking anything alcoholic in the next few minutes because I've got to go over to the grocery store. But what I will have, and it's been sitting in my refrigerator now for a few weeks, is the latest Bell City Brewing Company beer. And that's out of Brantford, Ontario. And I've got a bottle of, it's called Brood Awakening, and it's a black coffee IPA. And I'm very interested in drinking this. My sister actually gave me a whole bunch of Bell City beers. So I will be drinking this. It's 650 milliliters, Anthony. That's a lot of beer. It's a strong beer. It's a 6% alcohol. And there's no description on the bottle anywhere. So I can't even do a sad reading of it for you. Because there's no description. So, but that's what I'll be having. What will you be having later?
So currently what I'm actually drinking now, which I'm not going to talk much about, is I found I'm always on the search out for the Arizona beverages, because there's a lot of the sugar-free ones, the zero-calorie ones that I quite like, especially for a buck in the giant cans.
Yeah.
But so now I've seen that they've actually put some of the Arizona beverages into bottles, which aren't as large as the can portions were. But they still have the half and half Arnold Palmer iced tea lemonade, which I don't mind. The calories aren't too high enough.
I love that one.
Yeah. However, my bourbon of choice for later, this comes out once a year here in Canada, and I was lucky enough to snag a couple of bottles this year, is Stagg Jr. And it is a very, very good bourbon. It's tough to find. It's by the Sazerac Company. And for the past couple of years, if you wanted to get it through the Liquor Control Board of Ontario, you needed to put your name in a lottery and hope that you got a bottle. This year, they kind of surprise released it, and I managed to get two bottles sent to a store near me from a store near Toronto, because they never actually get out of Toronto that far. So,
good for you.
Yeah, so I was quite happy with that. So I'll do a Sam Elliott read of the finish. Not the nose or the palate, but the finish.
Please.
Of Stagg Jr. A sharp dose of pepper dominates the initial burn, almost like biting into a peppercorn accidentally. After the spike, the heat lingers for a bit. Ironically, the burn is kind of nice once you get past the initial sting, making for a long-lasting sweet finish, rounded out with elements of burnt brown sugar, caramel, and dark chocolate.
I only laughed because I have accidentally bitten into a peppercorn before, and I know that shock. I know that initial bite, Anthony.
when you're too young, or even, you know, the really thin chili peppers that they started putting on food about 10 years ago or so.
Right.
And the first time you bite into one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it's a very good bourbon. And because it's barrel proof, which means they basically bottle it right out of the barrel, it's actually 129.5 proof, which is 64.75%.
Wow.
Yes. So you're wondering why it has that bite to it.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's got a bit of bite, but it is, for the amount of alcohol in it, it's actually a very, very good bourbon. I'm quite happy with the acquisition this week.
Excellent.
Put it that way. So it's time to move over into the calendar. So, you know what? I don't know how long we're ever going to be doing this podcast, but I can guarantee you that until we finish it, that's going to be the official sound.
Great.
Calendar, because I'm waiting for the day where there's absolutely nobody out there listening to the podcast who understands what it, like a newsreader or ticker tape type sound is.
Or whatever the hell it is I'm making the sound of.
Yeah, exactly. Dateline. So we've got a couple last minute things that are coming up. So over the next 2 weeks, not a lot. But for the rest of October, we've got stuff coming up over the next couple of days. And then almost nothing for an entire week, and then some stuff right at the beginning of November. So as we're recording here on the 23rd, we have the debut, or the debut, as I like to call it, of Last Stop Garage on Discovery. Because sometimes you have to discover a garage that's at the last stop.
Where do you think this Last Stop Garage is?
Oh, geez. Alaska?
So close. Labrador.
Oh, okay.
Other side of the country.
Exactly.
But still, and when I say so close, I mean because it's a small community, not that it's actually geographically close, because of course it's not. Yeah, it's about this small community in Newfoundland of only 533 people, and the garage where everybody goes to have the work done on their car. And because it's so remote, the staffers, the mechanics, they need to kind of jerry-rig the jobs most of the time.
Of course, because, yes. I mean, if somebody's driving in some one of those exotic vehicles like a Ford Festiva, you just might not have the parts available in rural Newfoundland.
They go out into the back and find a part from an old Pinto.
I said rural Newfoundland. I'm sorry for offending our Labrador listeners.
That's right. Labradorian?
Yes. I guess so. Labradorite? I think Labradorian is probably closer.
Sounds good.
I wouldn't want to call them Labradorks because that would be insinuating something. But
no,
but
so
that would be a good name for them.
So Last Stop Garage, that's 9 p.m. Eastern on Discovery, and I'll segue into the next two shows, because it turns out that all three of these programs that I'm talking about are all made by the same company, Proper Television, who also do MasterChef Canada. And I think we teased this last time we spoke, that Canada's Worst Driver and Tougher Than It Looks are both back tonight as well. So Canada's Worst Driver is back for season 13. season two of Tougher Than It Looks returns with two back-to-back episodes. And Worst Driver, I mean, at this point, it was fun watching the show, but the fact that it's been here for 13 seasons and it seems as though the drivers are getting worse and worse, I'm actually wondering whether the producers should be kind of taking the whole driving industry to task for actually letting people get onto the road with licenses the way that they drive.
Well, I mean, that's so, and I made this point before, like maybe about a year ago as we were talking about the show coming back. It's not really Canada's Worst Driver, because Canada's Worst Driver wouldn't qualify to be on Canada's Worst Driver.
Yeah, it's a lot about the personalities. It, like in the first episode, there are eight contestants, and I think half of them are bad drivers because of something that they've gone through in their lives. Right. Whether it be a car accident that's made it so that they're afraid that, to get behind the wheel of the car.
Because you got to have the story with it, right?
Yeah, yeah, you have to have the story, and you know, there's a guy that likes to speed everywhere that he goes, and I just, you know, Mike Holmes has really kind of shone a spotlight on how corrupt the construction industry is and how people can cut corners with regard to rules. And I really feel as though maybe at this point in the run, Canada's Worst Driver should be, you know, turning a spotlight on these driving schools that give these people licenses. Like they talk about one girl who, she went through a stop sign on her test and broke down crying. And because she broke down crying during the test, she was given her license by the adjudicator. I'm like, well, how does that happen? Like that shouldn't happen at all. So I'm very passionate about this.
Apparently. And is there a natural segue into the next show?
Tougher Than It Looks is also hosted by Andrew Younghusband. He does both that and Canada's Worst Driver. And yet he's putting his body on the line. Instead of these drivers putting our lives on the line every day, he goes and does tough jobs and has 24 hours to try and learn them. It's kind of like a Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe, except that it's Canadian. Andrew Younghusband puts his life on the line in tonight's first episode, learning how to surf in February in Lake Huron after, you know, he tries to learn how to surf and then goes out in the middle of February to do it. And then in the second episode, he's a rodeo clown.
Ah, a rodeo clown. That's a common pathway for our high school kids these days.
It really is.
Yes. I don't think there's a natural segue into tomorrow night's festivities, which are Hunting Nazi Treasure, which has its debut on the History Network.
No, it's about the greatest...
We've been talking about the show for a while.
Yes.
Greatest. Let me guess, they hunt Nazi treasure.
They do. Present-day efforts to locate valuable objects and artwork stolen by the Nazis at the end of World War II and return them to their rightful owners. There are hundreds of thousands of items worth billions still missing to this day. And so this History Canada series reveals what was stolen, how it was stolen, and leads to the hunt for lost treasure.
So there you go. If you're interested in anything and everything World War II, then maybe you would be interested in this.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It's kind of like, what is it, Monument Men?
It's exactly like that. It's like the TV version, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. And also tomorrow night, a menu matchup on AMI, or as I like to call it, AMI.
AMI, because we're all friends on AMI TV.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's AMI TV's latest original television series. It's a culinary cook-off competition where a sighted professional chef and a blind or low-vision home cook are teamed together. They go head-to-head against another professional chef and a blind or low-vision home cook. They have an hour time limit. They have 7 mystery ingredients to use, and they have to make an appetizer and a main course. There are 3 judges that taste the foods and critique them, and then a winner is declared, and that winner wins a trip for 2 to Niagara-on-the-Lake for a bit of a vacation.
At a bed and breakfast, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's the same company that owns the Pillar and Post.
Ah, yes.
So I think that's where they're staying.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's funny because I watched the episode, I liked it. I like culinary competitions. I like the fact that the blind and low vision home cooks don't just kind of stand off to the side. They're actually involved.
Sure.
They cut, they cook, and, you know, they taste. They're very involved in the show. But they kind of buried the lead because the show is executive produced by the Scott brothers who do, the Property brothers, Jonathan and his brother. So, you know, this is their venture into some original programming that doesn't actually feature them. And so I thought that was a little bit interesting.
Cool. And on our calendar, nothing for a full week after that, waiting until now, November the 1st, jumping forward, to CBC's debut of the Great Canadian Baking Show.
Yep, the Canadian...
By itself, all four of those words are about as generic as you could expect. It's great. It's Canadian, there's baking, and it's a show.
And it's a show, yes. Dan Levy from Schitt's Creek was one of the judges. It's like the British show. It's Canadian bakers go head-to-head in competition making cakes and pies. And a lot of the challenges that they face are to do with either Canadian-specific ingredients or Canadian-themed desserts.
There you go.
So
maple syrup and maple sugar and everything is what you're saying.
No, I'm actually lying. It isn't just desserts because I went there for a tape. I watched them do taping and they were making tortillas. So I'm an idiot.
Okay. No, you're not. Was there maple sugar involved?
No.
I just feel like there should be a giant vat of maple syrup or something like that that they should just
go up and take shots of.
Yeah, exactly. Also returning on November the 1st is, on the Comedy Network, The Return of the Beaverton, a critical success during its first season.
Yes, it was. Kind of Canada's version of The Daily Show, for a second season. And if you go to thebeaverton.com, I think is the website. I hope that's the website and it doesn't take you somewhere else. You can fill out information and go down and watch a taping.
Where do they tape?
In Toronto, at Bell Media's Scarborough campus, where they do TSN and Discovery.
Okay, so if you're living in downtown Toronto, you might have to take a GO train or something like that.
Well, yeah,
take 16 seat TTC connections or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll get there eventually. On November the 3rd, we have a couple of shows, one returning and one debuting on Viceland. The first one is Nirvana, the band, returns.
It's a sketch comedy series about two guys who are musicians, and together they are Nirvana, the band, and they're trying to make it big in the Toronto music scene. I haven't seen an episode of the show, so
not everybody gets Viceland necessarily.
No,
so.
No, I can't comment on it. But
now Viceland had a huge influx of money from Rogers a couple of years ago.
They did, and I feel like that's where all of Rogers' money has gone. That and hockey.
I think so, and also the debut of FUBAR: Age of Computer.
So this is the TV series inspired by the Canadian cult hit mockumentary FUBAR. It's about two headbangers named Terry and Dean who clash with the modern digital age. This season finds them fleeing the wildfires of Fort McMurray as they retreat to Terry's cousin Shank's illegal basement suite in Calgary, where they discover high-speed internet and an epic journey to record a concept album called 3069.
So this is a scripted show?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, just curious. Wasn't sure, because Viceland does have like quite a few... kind of weekly, you know, quasi news shows about tech and stuff like that. So I was wondering if that was tied to this or not.
Yeah, no, this is a scripted show and it kind of has a cult following. There were a couple of movies that were made that did very well in this country, kind of along the same lines as Trailer Park Boys. And then even Jared Kiso, when he was creating Letterkenny, had said that he was inspired by the guys that worked on FUBAR.
Okay. The only other thing I want to mention, it's going to be in part of our next episode, but on Monday the 6th, we have what they're calling the Return of the National.
Yes.
Now, that's not necessarily the return. That just means that that's when the new four people who are all replacing Peter Mansbridge get together for the first time officially, right?
That's right. Yep.
Yes. Because I saw there was this on CBC News World, Ian Hanna-Mansing did a sign-off of his West Coast show about a week ago where they did like the last episode. And I don't even know what the show is called because usually when you watch News World, you just assume it's a news broadcast. But I mean, I guess they designate them as separate shows. So he had kind of some farewell show after 5 or 6 years. So I guess they will all be assembling as, you know, and if you combine them all, if you kind of turn their arms the right way and put them all together, they form Peter Mansbridge, I think.
Yeah. So tune in and see how they do that.
Well, all four of them together will not make anywhere near his salary.
No. It's Adrian Arsenault, Rosemary Barton, Andrew Chang, and Ian Hanna-Mansing are all going to be helming the National.
Yes. Well, we'll see how that goes. I wish them the best. Although, you know what? I am just fine to be rid of Peter Mansbridge, to be honest with you. You know, right. didn't necessarily dislike Peter Mansbridge to any great degree. Just often didn't think of Peter Mansbridge. And when I saw some of the salary he was making, I don't begrudge anybody making a good salary, but I'm just thinking, you know, yeah, we could probably do this with some other people. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe they're going to split his salary four ways.
I don't even think they're making that much. I hope they are. I hope they all are. I hope they all make as much as he did, but who knows. So that's it for the calendar this week. So apparently Bell Media is going on a buying spree. And when I say that, that means that they're picking up a couple of properties to expand their reach into La Belle Provence. They're acquiring Series Plus and Historia. Is that how it goes? Isn't that a Def Leppard song?
Yeah, I think so. Close. Yeah. With Joey Elliott.
So Series Plus is Quebec's most watched fiction channel. They have a lot of locally produced drama, and Historia is a top 10 channel among age 25 to 54. Mm. But they do reality series like Le Lot du Diable and the drama series Béliveau.
Is Jean Béliveau?
I don't know.
Now I want to watch it.
Yeah. I don't know if it's... But now, it's a story of Jean Béliveau in an alternate reality where he's a detective.
Yeah, so Bell Media bought these two stations off of Corus Entertainment, and it's Bell Media currently operates 10 French language TV channels in Quebec: Canal D, Investigation, RDS, RDS Info, RDS 2, Super Écran, among them. And this is again just with the whole Creative Canada thing happening with the federal government. Bell Media is saying, all right, well, let's make a little bit more French language programming, because they're going to be scrutinized for that when all this Creative Canada stuff comes through.
Well, and they also want to position themselves so that they can wag their fingers at Netflix if they don't have enough Quebec-based programming.
Exactly. Yes. Very good point.
Yes, exactly. Especially after talking about it a couple weeks ago in front of the hearings.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you know, Netflix does nothing for Quebec. Look at us. We're buying things. Mm-hmm. Let's bump this over to Super Channel, which is premiering a new original drama series. Now, we were talking before the show, Greg. This is a Canadian production, right?
Well, yes. You know, there's a lot of talk about the fact that, you know, or a lot of question into how Canadian Vikings is. Yes, there are a couple of actors on Vikings, but the guy that created it is not Canadian. We have had a few of the directors that have been Canadian, but for the lion's share of the Canadian credit, I think, comes in the post-production work. And I'm thinking that this is the same way with this Super Channel show called Acceptable Risk. It's a 6-part gripping conspiracy thriller, and it's a Canadian-Ireland co-production shot in Dublin and Montreal, written by Emmy Award winner Ron Hutchinson, who wrote Traffic, The Ten Commandments, and directed by Kenny Gleenan, who directed Charlie in Paranoid. The only Canadians on the cast... Oh, no. Now I have to look for it.
There's Paul Popowicz.
There we go. Paul Popowicz and Jordy Johnson.
Jordy Johnson, yeah.
Are the two Canadians on the cast. And, they were shooting it in Montreal. So, okay. That's more than what they did.
So they're saying, when her husband is murdered while on a business trip to Montreal. So does that mean the first episode is shot in Montreal?
Yeah, and then they'll go back and they'll be
in
Ireland.
The rest of it's back in Dublin.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And they'll be in Montreal long enough that we'll see the big O.
Yeah, exactly. You'll see all the iconic stock footage of Montreal.
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder if you'll see Bonhomme there. I'm not sure.
Oh, I hope so. That would be great.
Just dancing around in the background of each shot. Kind of like a Where's Waldo kind of thing of Bonhomme.
Like Pennywise.
Yeah, exactly. Hiding out in the sewers of Dublin.
So there you go.
Yeah. So it's gripping, apparently.
Hey, the press release says it's gripping. It must be.
It must be.
Why would they say that if it wasn't?
So it looks like Crave is not only patting themselves on the back with the success of Letterkenny, but they want to pat a whole bunch of other people on the back as well.
Yeah, and you know what? When I tweeted this out, I really feel that this is the way that and there will be detractors. There will be people that just kind of say, whatever. But I really think that this is a step in the right direction when it comes to really showcasing Canadian talent and trying to establish more of a star system in this country. Crave TV and the producers behind Letterkenny, who are New Metric Media, they've announced that they've joined forces to build the show beyond the series itself into a worldwide entertainment brand. It's a multi-year partnership between the two companies. There's going to be 73 episodes of Letterkenny. There's going to be 40 new episodes being produced. We already have three seasons and a couple of specials that have been made. So there's going to be 40 new episodes. They're all Crave TV is also going to be, they're committing to some brand support, including cross-platform marketing campaigns for the series. Merchandise. We've already talked about the Puppers Premium Lager that's in beer stores in partnership with Stack Brewery out of Sudbury. There's also going to be a 26-city Letterkenny Live Tour, which is going to be a 90-minute comedy experience starring Jared Kiso and Nathan Dales and K. Trevor Wilson and Mark Forward, kicking off February the 28th, and they're planning on touring into the U.S. as well. The multi-year commitment also includes partnering with the sale and distribution of the series and its format alongside DHX Media to the international market. So this is essentially what Trailer Park Boys has become. They've got, you know, the clothes, the alcohol. It's got the Trailer Park Boys do this around the world tour all the time and make, you know, get all kinds of money from doing that. They also now are doing, they have a partnership with Netflix. So everything they're making now is specifically for Netflix, and back seasons are all available on Netflix as well as concert specials. So they're just taking, you know, Crave TV and New Metric Media are just taking that model and doing it with Letterkenny. And hey, I don't have a problem with that. I think that this is a good thing, and it's going to be getting all these people, these characters and these actors and actresses, you know, make them bigger names outside of this country and hopefully inside this country as well.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way. If it allows for some flexibility in terms of not having fear year after year after year whether you have a job. I mean, yep. one of the biggest things that we deal with now, not only in it's not only in Canada, but it's all over the world, is the concept of precarious work and not knowing whether you're working from season to season or from year to year. And I mean, in any kind of gig-based economy, like acting, like music, it's more prevalent than ever. And so when you see something like this, you at least have a sense of hope that, you know, the actors who are on this show, unless some writer decides to kill one of them off, that you've probably got going forward at least a little bit of job security.
Agreed. Yep. Yeah.
So, by the way, of course, I'm looking down at the long list of people who are all involved in the funding of Letterkenny, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it takes up a whole paragraph.
Yes. There's a lot of Bell Media, the Canadian Media Fund, OMDC Tax Credits, the Canadian Film or Video Production Tax Credit, the Northern Ontario Heritage Fund. Wow. There's a lot there.
That's how you make TV in this country, my friend.
Exactly.
No way around it.
Like you said, the last episode, the one partner is responsible for grants.
Yep, that's right. That's it.
And our last story this week, APTN, which over the past, I would say, 4 to 5 years has become a growing source, not of only, I mean, we used to look at APTN as essentially a news source, mm-hmm. which would bring Indigenous affairs stories to our awareness. But over the past five, six years especially, it has really become one of the strongest purveyors of really solid dramatic series in this country.
Yeah, that's right. And so they sent out a media release today, Monday. They've submitted their application to renew its broadcasting license to the CRTC. And since 2013, APTN receives a fee of 31 cents per Canadian subscriber through monthly subscription fees. Now they're included in everybody's cable lineup, so everybody's paying that 31 cents. And in 2015, APTN was called upon by the CRTC to support reconciliation through the continuation of our leadership in programming and organizational culture. So the APTN is requesting a modest increase to their wholesale fee for the next term so as to continue their service to Aboriginal audiences, sustain a strong and talented Aboriginal production industry, and grow opportunities to better serve the needs of Aboriginal communities through a comprehensive strategic plan. So, and they note that the network does not receive government funding for operations, but generates revenue through subscriber fees, advertising sales, and strategic partnerships.
All I can say is that I have been more and more impressed over the years by some of the product that APTN puts out. I love the fact that almost everything that they produce goes up on their website.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a rare purveyor of somebody who maybe writes to the CRTC on behalf of things, or maybe you're only always critical of something that you see, if you would like to be positive with the CRTC, maybe go to the link that they have at the at our TVA article, which is aptn.ca/license renewal. Click on that link and go and make sure that they can continue some of the good work that they've been doing, because like I say, there's been a great evolution there over the past few years, and I think they're ready to do more.
Yeah, and they're asking for 5 cents more. So they're asking they want to receive 36 cents per Canadian subscriber.
Yeah, which I think back to some of the awards that they've won just alone over the past 5 years on some of the shows they've done, the scripted shows they've done, and they've it's been an impressive job. So
yep,
definitely get involved behind that. That that wraps up all of our news for this episode. Like you say, we can listen next week for the TVABC's episode, or you can listen back to some past TVABC's episodes if you like to. You can listen to past news episodes if you want to, but really, I mean, they're kind of topical at a date. I mean, you know, if you just like to listen to us rambling, well, that's not a bad thing either, I suppose. Greg, where can people find you when you're not here talking Canadian television every couple weeks?
You can find me running the show over at the TVA website, tv-eh.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at tv_eh or at Greg_David. And just before we move on to where people can find you, I just want to do real quickly... give a little shout out to our Patreons, because I don't think that we've done that in a while, and without right. The handful of Patreons.
So while you're looking for it, if you wish to on a monthly basis support this this podcast and recognize some of the work that we do here, recognize that we're one of the few, if not the only, consistent, strictly Canadian television podcast that's not necessarily a fan podcast, but talks about some of the business of Canadian television. You can go to our Patreon page at Patreon, patreon.com/TV_EH. And if you go there, you'll have the option of saying, hey, listening to this podcast, as far as I'm concerned, it's worth $1 a month to me. And they'll make it really simple for you to just, if you give them your credit card, which I know can be scary, I think you can set up through PayPal as well.
Yep.
But if you do that, you know, $1 a month, and it'll just come off automatically until you tell them not to. Or if you want to do $2 a month or $3 a month, whatever you want to do, it helps us keep the servers going, you know, especially in the winter as they get close to freezing.
That's right. That's right. So a quick shout out to the Patreon supporters that we've got currently, Joyce David, Robert Carnell, Suzanne Kepler, Ali Zahir, and Dr. Dave Broadbeck. Thank you to everybody.
There you go. So I know we don't have a lot right now, but I mean, even if it's worth $1 a month to you, go on there. And, you know, $12 a year to get all this fine, fine content brought to you here by the TVA Network.
Where can people find you?
Sorry, I'm pausing for effect. Hang on. Okay. You can find all the podcasts that I do at anthonymarco.com. You can find me on Twitter at anthonymarco and find all of the past episodes of this podcast at tv-eh.com, on Twitter at tv_eh. Ah, there we go. I feel cleansed. I feel like my Canadian television palate has been cleansed, Greg.
All right, good. I'm happy it was cleansed.
I'm going to enjoy some. I'm going to enjoy an accidental bite into a peppercorn later, I believe.
Okay.
That wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.